Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast, your weekly installment of the weird. I'm your host, Barry Johnston. With me, as always, my friend, my counterpart, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you, sir?
Hey, Barry. Thank you for that warm opening. I am doing well. How about yourself, man? I know you've been fighting the sniffles for a while.
Yeah, doing better. It's just lingering. It's one of those things that just it's going to take some time to get out of my system. But I feel a lot better getting, you know, sort of back in the swing of it. I wasn't able to work for a couple of days last week, so trying to get caught back up and get back, get back square, as it were. And so, yeah, things are going good. How about you, man? How are things with you?
Doing good. I also missed a couple of days of work last week, but you know, hey, getting back to the grind and, you know, grinding out right before we got the holiday coming up in a couple of days here. So that's right. Got Thanksgiving plans?
Yeah, we're going over to my mom's and she's cooking and having everybody over, and I'm sure it'll be a good time to get together with everybody and see everyone. Not everyone's going to be there, but I think enough to make it feel like, you know, a nice, cozy, warm holiday. I'm looking forward to it, man. What do you have on your calendar list?
Well, you know, I'm not traveling because, you know, my closest family is in North Carolina, so that's quite a bit of a drive. And then I usually go down to see them, my mom and my sister and her boys and my stepdad. I go down and see them at Christmas time because that's more of a important holiday to me. I like Christmas. Yeah. Thanksgiving, I'm okay with, you know. I think Thanksgiving was bigger when I was a kid because we would all go over to my grandma Beebe's, you know, there in Marshall, because she would make a massive spread of food. Yeah. It was all just fantastic. So
yeah,
that was a big thing. But it's just, you know, as I've gone my own way and done my own thing, it's Thanksgiving's not as big anymore because it's just me, you know, and so it's just going to be me and my cats this year, and I'll get them, you know, maybe a can of fancy cat food and something for myself. I don't know.
Right.
Little, I'm not going to make a big deal of it.
But, little tofurkey.
But yeah, and then, you know, just, yeah, maybe I'll get a tofurkey. I don't know. The thing I do miss about Thanksgiving is at least, you know, going back in home area, or like, you know, Oklahoma home, or, you know, you run into a lot of old friends, you know, getting to catch up with people you haven't seen in a while, or, you know, who maybe you saw them just last week, who knows, but still, that's one of the nice things, because, you know, you run into your buddies and the people you grew up with, and everybody's coming in from around,
right.
And that's kind of lends to what we've got going today on the episode.
That's right. We've got some family, some old friends. We are opening the door to an old friend of ours that we grew up with, and he fits in with the story that I've told in the half year episode. And that story is the infamous guy in the closet story. If you'll remember, yes, there was a gentleman that broke into our house when I was a kid, and he stayed in our house for a numerous amount of time, hours upon hours upon hours. And we could not figure out what the heck was going on. I thought my sister was crazy. And then, a month or a little over a month later, we find out that our friend, about half mile down the road, ends up getting his house broken into. And this is the brother of the guy whose house was broken into. And
yeah,
I wanted him to come on so that we could get his point of view, you know, somebody to corroborate some of the information and try to sort of give some light as far as what happened on their end of it.
Right. It gives us a broader angle, or a different angle and a broader view, like you said, of everything that transpired, and a more immediate on his end. because of, you know, his brother. So, and Shane came and he was excited about being on, and he brings it, and we power through it. But man, it was great, because it was like, I'll say this later on in the episode, but it was like hearing it anew, you know? Yeah, right. So it's cool. So if you haven't listened to our big half year anniversary episode, that's episode 26. You can do that now, or you can do that afterwards to hear Barry's side and Barry's telling, and it's good. It's great. But this is just, it's a little bit more in it. Like Barry said, it confirms a lot of his side, but it also fleshes it out a lot more. And it's also very compelling.
That's
so
right.
It's not a rerun by any means. It's a whole new experience, because Shane's got a whole, he's a whole character unto himself, right. And bringing it. So absolutely.
Well, let's get to it. Let's get to Shane. Shane, what's your weird story?
Well, you know, I listened to episode 26, and I'd kind of gotten the lowdown from Jeff and you, Barry, and about kind of the memories of this fateful night. Well, luckily it wasn't fateful, but it was a freaking strange night.
Is this something, is this something that you thought about over the years? Like I have stewed over this story for years.
Brother, I was a firsthand witness of this mess, man, you know? And so I can tell, and I listened to your guys' story, and it's the story. But what's interesting is, a couple of the details, were a little bit off.
Of course,
but the story was actually accurate. So
okay, good.
So to shed a little few points in there of what really happened that night.
Yeah. Okay. Let's give us a synopsis. Okay. So the synopsis is that there was a guy that broke into my house and subsequently broke into Shane's house and his family's house. And if you guys aren't familiar with that story, please go back and listen to that if you would, because it'll help you sort of navigate what we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
I got to say this. So I remember Dusty coming to school and talking. And I don't know if you remember this or not, but talking about, he goes, man, the weirdest thing happened. We came home yesterday and all the windows, I think either the blinds were up and all the doors were unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, it was that we don't do that. Something was weird. Somebody was in our house, and we were all like, I think you're full of shit, dude. There's no way.
Well, was a couple of things like you were talking that, you know, months before, strange things like that were kind of happening around the house. And like, for instance, you know, if we got a speeding ticket in our house, you know, as a kid, you had to come home, you had to put it on the refrigerator, and then you had to go to work, and you had to make money, and you had to put your money on the refrigerator to pay the speeding ticket.
Yeah.
And so I got stopped for something, you know, and it was like $100 or whatever it was. I can't remember what it was, but so I put my money on the refrigerator, you know, and one day we come home and the money on the refrigerator's gone.
Oh.
And it's like, you know, there's only four of us in the house. You know, just take the money out the refrigerator. And of course, no, it's just we couldn't figure it out. You know what?
Wow.
Who took the money? And there were some weird things like stuff being moved, and but never in our minds ever did we dream that, you know, some dude was walking through the house when we were gone, opening windows up, taking money, walking around.
How long was that before this whole thing came to a halt?
You know. Who knows? Month before, I don't remember.
Okay, sometime leading up to that, there was some weird. Yeah, there was some other shit going on.
Strangeness, some eeriness going on.
Wow!
And I'm just going to tell you. You want me to just tell you what?
Yeah, yeah.
What my experience was. Yeah. This is what happened. Okay?
Please.
Yeah. It was 93, right? 93.
Yep. That sounds right.
I graduated high school in 92.
Yeah.
Right.
So I came home from college, and it was summertime because I was at home and where our house is set up. I had my own bedroom upstairs. The whole floor upstairs was a bedroom. It had a bathroom off of it and a little walkway from the bathroom to the hallway, and then you go downstairs. And Dusty and I shared the bedroom. So this year it was my year to have the bedroom upstairs. And he had the little bitty bedroom downstairs, which the bedroom downstairs was pretty cool because it's like a little study, you know. I mean, it was like probably, it seems like it's probably like an 8x10 maximum little room, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so. I had a at this time I had a little Chihuahua. His name was Taz, And Taz slept with me every night. And so one night, it's, I don't know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, probably 3:15. And everybody's sound asleep. And my dog next to me just starts, you know, how Chihuahua does.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, shut up. Hush, what's the problem? You know, go to sleep. And I'm like kind of spatting him on the nose, you know, and stop it, you know, go to sleep, go to bed, you know. And he's just going off. You know, and I was like, God. So I'm thinking, man. And so finally I spat him on the nose and he quits. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to sleep, you know. About, I'd say probably 15 minutes later or so, my mother comes barreling up the stairs, flips the hallway light on, busts in my door, and sits in my bed and says, Shane, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, I mean, you know, waking up, rolling over, I'm like, I'm looking at her like she's crazy. I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't I be okay? You know, and so I look over, it's probably 4 in the morning now.
Yeah.
So she just runs out of the room. Didn't say a word. So I'm laying there and I'm looking at the ceiling and I'm like,
what the hell
was that all about? You know? Yeah. So I thought, meanwhile, this is what's going on firsthand from Dusty. Okay.
Oh, okay.
This is what's happening while I'm asleep.
Yeah.
My dog barks. I'm asleep. Okay. So meanwhile, Dusty, and this is very reminiscent to this exact story you told, but I have a few more little details.
Yeah.
Dusty's laying down. Okay. And in your version, he was on his back. In my version, he was on his stomach. Okay.
Okay.
He was on his stomach, and he's got an alarm clock next to him that has red lights on it, you know?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he's got a fan, like you mentioned. He had a fan, but it was hot in his room, so he always put the fan in the doorway.
Okay.
Because it sucked air from the,
yeah,
from the
right,
hallway.
Right.
The
door, right. Okay.
So he's laying there in bed, and at first, okay, he's just totally asleep, and he feels what he thinks possibly could be someone stroking his middle finger. Okay. But he's trying to wake up and he's like, is there somebody stroking my finger? I don't think there's somebody stroking my finger. He's like, rat or something, you know? Meanwhile, he realizes that, you know what, the you know how a fan sounds whenever it's getting free air, it's nice, yeah, and quiet.
Yeah.
But when the fan has been moved over to the side to get in the door, it makes a high pitched noise.
Right.
So he realizes, okay, the fan's high pitched noise, and there's this red glow from the alarm clock that he opens his eyes. He's looking towards the wall. He's laying on his stomach. Mm-hmm. So he's looking toward the wall. And as he does, he sees this shadow.
Oh, my God.
This shadow move across, and it takes the red light that's bouncing against the wall and kind of like, you know, blacks it out for a minute.
Yeah.
And while this is happening, he thinks someone's, before that happened, actually, he thinks someone's stroking his middle finger. Okay.
Right.
So he thinks, well, hopefully it's a rat, you know, or something.
Right.
So he takes his hand. Yeah. He takes his hand and he slaps the rat, hoping to hear the rat hit the wall.
Right.
Okay.
Now, did you guys have a lot of rats out there?
Or dude,
just a desperate prayer for something to be other.
He was hoping for a rat.
Not only do we not have rats, we didn't have people stroking our fingers very often. You know?
That's true.
And so when he slaps the rat away, there is no rat that hits the wall. It's empty. It's a bump, and there's nothing hits the wall.
Oh, man.
And all of a sudden, he rolls over, okay? And immediately, outside, you know, his bedroom is next to the entryway, a big, large entryway. And like you said, it's pitch black, so you have to know where you're going in this house.
Yeah, man. Because
he hears this, boom, 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 like giant footsteps from a large person running away from his room into the foyer. Okay, yes.
right.
And he says, "Hey." His adrenaline's pumped, you know. He's like, "Hey!" So he hears this bump, 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 bump. Okay, he's in his tidy whities. Okay, he jumps out of bed and he's scared as you can imagine. He's shaking like crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
And so he walks into, it's pitch black. He walks through the foyer, falls into the sound of the footsteps, into what was called our little dining room area.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in the dining room area, there's a large round dining room table. It's round.
Right.
Okay. So when he walks in, he goes over to the light switch first and rolls. It's one of those roll light switches where you can kind of start dim and kind of start. He turns the dim up a little bit.
Yeah.
And he looks over and around the corner, okay, of the wall, he sees this jean jacket sleeve of an arm.
Uh-huh.
It's like, hanging over the corner. All he can see across the table is this, and this person is like 6 foot, probably two, three, I don't know how
tall.
Mountain of a person in a jean jacket, and he sees this jean jacket arm just hanging down, and so he can't see the person's face yet. So he rolls the light, and the person, the jean jacket's like shaking, like nervous, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some big person is in the house that just was stroking his finger, you know?
Yeah, dude.
So he walks around the table slowly and starting to see more of this person's body.
Mm-hmm.
And when he walks around, he looks and he's staring Scott. Person's name we're not going to mention.
Yes,
right.
Looking at him.
Wow.
And he's like Scott. He's like, yeah, hey Dusty. He's like, what's going on, man? You know, what's up? He's like, oh man, sorry, my car broke down and I didn't know how to get in, so I went through the upstairs window through the bathroom, climbed the house.
You didn't hear him up there?
He'd walked through my freaking bedroom.
Your bedroom, dude.
Well, it was right off the bathroom, little corridor there. Well, that's why the dog was barking. Why Taz was barking.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he'd walked through and then walked down the stairs. Okay.
Wow. And so he's like, see, I didn't know that.
He's like, my car broke down and I didn't know how to get in, so I just came up through the upstairs window. And he's like, okay. He said, okay. He said, I tell you what, man. He said, that's cool. He said, that's cool, man. Let me get my parents. We'll help, see if we can help you out, man. We'll help you out.
Right.
You know, so meanwhile, that's just thinking, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. Yeah.
So okay. He said, okay, stay here, man. So he runs back to my parents' room, okay, and they're sound asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call the last guy's last name McGillicuddy. Okay.
That's fine.
Okay, but okay, let's say the guy's name is Scott McGillicuddy. And so and everybody knows the guy's name, you know. So he at the house. So,
yeah.
So my parents didn't really know this person that much, you know. So my brother walks in to my parents' room, is in the back of the house, and they're sound asleep. And he's like, Mom, Dad, Scott McGillicuddy's in the kitchen, man. He's playing with my fingers and shit, man. It's weird. and my dad's and like, huh? he's like, Scott McGillicuddy's in my kitchen, man. He's playing with my fingers and shit. It's weird. and my dad's like, what? He's like, come on, man. This guy's in the kitchen. And he's like, okay. So my dad gets up. He's in his tidy whities. Okay.
Yeah.
So my dad and then my brother, in their tidy whities, walk to the kitchen and turn the light on, and there is
he stayed. Scott. That's what's shocking. He stayed there.
He stayed right there in the same spot he was in.
Wow!
So we walked in, and he's convulsing. He's nervous and convulsing, like, you know, shaking really bad.
Right.
And my dad, you know, he's got bedhead, and he's like, he don't know what's going on. He's like, you know, so he walks in, he's like, hey, he's like, Scott. It's like, yeah. He's like, what's going on, man? He's like, well, sir, my car broke down, and you know, I didn't want to wake anybody up, you know, so I decided to come to the window, you know, upstairs. And he's like, okay.
Wow.
He's like, well, you know, he said, you know, man, he said, you know, we're gonna have to probably call the cops, you know, you know,
yeah,
because you know, cause you came without permission, you know. He's like, hey, okay, sir.
in the kindest way. Yeah, we're probably gonna have to call the cops.
Okay, Mr. Jackson. Okay, Mr. Jackson. He said, before you do that, I just have to let you know that I have these things. He's like, okay. And he reaches in his pocket, pulls out a pair of leather gloves and a freaking ice pick.
Wow, dude. See, wow. And I didn't know that part either, man.
Right. He had them on his person. And my dad, we call the cops. I just want you to know, have these things, you know. But he's like, okay, well, what's up? And he's like, well, I just keep it for protection, you know. He's like, okay, you know. So So my dad kind of says, you know, wait on the back, wait on the front porch, you know, or whatever, you know. And so he waits in the front porch. And meanwhile, I come moseying downstairs like, what in the hell's going on here tonight, you know? Meanwhile, all this is unfolded underneath my nose, you know. I mean, I'm just waking up. So I've been
my Lord.
And, you know, the cops come and of course, you know, his car is like, you know, down the road with the hood up, you know.
Right.
Like there's some kind of problem with the car, you know.
Right.
And so this happens and everybody's in kind of like still kind of processing it, you know, kind of like in shock, whatever. So, so we all are just, there's no sleeping that night, you know, we're just kind of digesting the situation. And so of course the next day, Dusty, you know, you're saying how Dusty comes to school and is like, hey, this is what's going on, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, so then what I understand happened, I don't know how the whole thing unfolded, but I guess, like you said, a couple of weeks ago later, okay, here comes this attorney. I'm not sure who the attorney was.
Okay.
But he walks in to the DA's office, right? And he sits down a bag, and it's got all of these pieces of jewelry.
Yeah.
Probably your sister's underpants.
Yeah, they were.
But, you know, in women's clothes and stuff, you know?
Yes.
And sitting on the guy's desk, and he says, hey, he said, okay, what's the story? Where'd you get this at? And he says, I'm sorry, right now it's client attorney privilege. I can't divulge any details, you know? So here's the DA. He's got this sack full of loot.
Wow.
And, so anyway, that I kind of burned through that pretty quick.
So that set in motion, then them finding out who it was, and he went to trial, and I know that, right? He went to trial.
Yeah. And there was something about, I don't remember exactly, but something came out about how he was, you know, like wearing women's shoes and weird things like that. And the story about how he kind of was infatuated with my little brother.
Right.
Well, you know, like this, that trip that you're talking about, they went on this, you know, kind of a church retreat deal, you know, with a big group.
Right.
And it all started because, you know, you have secret pals, you know, secret you know, you get your secret pal a gift, you know, or whatever.
Right,
know.
Right.
And come to find out, you know, it happened to be that Dusty was his secret pal.
Right.
And I think there was something there that kind of just.
Right.
And, you know, Dusty's he's a friendly person and just loves everybody, you know.
Likeable guy, yeah.
Absolutely, man.
You know, and I think that it just kind of, you know, he was thinking, man, I want to get in this kid's world or something. Yeah. I don't know, you know.
That's so crazy, dude. Like, there's so many parts to what you just said, that story, that. Over years, I sort of filled in the blanks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I knew he had the ice pick, but I wasn't sure. I thought that he was hiding it behind his back. But to hear you say that he had the leather gloves also.
Yeah, dude.
And, yeah, on him. Yeah.
And I also thought that it was the police that found all that shit. But it was him divulging that to Dusty and your dad.
I think what happened was whenever my dad said, hey, you know, maybe you ought to wait outside on the front porch and whatnot. I think your story was right, though. I think he went to his car, you know, and dumped the stuff. You know, I think that's what happened.
Wow.
Damn.
But yeah, but you know, Barry, you know, you maybe say something. You said something on the 26th episode about, you know, you were thinking, you know, that he had had this infatuation with Dusty and stuff.
Right.
And in your mind, perhaps he was thinking, you know, man, you know, if I can't, it's not a reality to be with this dude.
Right.
I can't have him.
Yeah.
I never thought about him taking him out. You know?
I don't. Well, yeah. But,
yeah.
I mean,
I don't know.
But, you know, but the thing about it is, you know, I think this is the fascinating part of it. I think there are other personalities like this in situations out there like that.
Yeah.
To where at the moment that he is standing up in the corner with his, you know, nervous and under duress about being actually caught.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That is a moment where in his brain, whatever's happening, you know, and I'm not being critical towards this guy because
of course
we don't know what's going on with mental health. We don't know. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So I don't mean to make fun of it, but this is the reality.
Yeah.
The reality is, you know, it could have been a situation where I'm trapped, I'm busted, I've got to get out and rash decisions. And luckily, he held on to that impulse.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, you say that because, like, there was a lot of stuff leading up to this. And I don't know if I know that I talked about it in my story, but Do you remember hearing about all the homes that were getting broken into leading up to this?
Yes.
And I mean, it was just like one after the other, and it was always, I remember, I don't want to say her last name, but I remember, multiple break-ins of, a girl, and every time she said that she would come home, or somebody would come home, and they would hear the back door close.
Yes.
You know, and then it was like, and then they would smell like her perfume, like somebody had been in her room and sprayed perfume. And
I have no doubt that that's exactly what was going on.
And then the other one about, I don't know that the tag on for this little story could have been something that I heard in passing, and it may not be true, but the bit of him, they found him at one point in time walking out on the dirt roads in the middle of the night in his penny loafers and his, because he used to dress immaculate. Mm-hmm. Very good dresser, you know.
Going for a jog.
You know?
Yeah.
Man.
But it's so crazy. That story is, the funny thing is that, we had run into you and I and your brothers. We ran into each other at a pub a couple of years ago, and we start talking about this story. And I think it's the first time that we'd all really talked about this together.
Bond over. We're thankful for that.
I know, man.
Just years of enjoyment.
So crazy, man. Because
nobody got hurt. Or
I know.
Rain. Yeah.
But listening to your version of it, dude, it just it intrigues me so much more, and it's almost like I'm listening to it for the first time.
That's what I feel like, because I mean, I'm just like wrapped up in this story. I've been fairly quiet this episode. I just realized that I haven't said much is because it is like I'm hearing it for the first time, and I'm still processing all this information that I've heard, you know, over 20 years ago.
Well, yeah, but still, listen to this, Adam. What would be going through your mind when you decide? Because when you come through my upstairs window, you have to get on the roof of the house,
right?
Well, you would have to know get in that window,
and it's pitch black,
right?
So my guess is he left the window open, and you came in and did it before, and prepped it, because we don't leave the windows open, you know.
Right.
This was definitely something that he had planned.
Yeah.
It was definitely something that he had been ramping up to.
Right. And that's exactly right.
And I think that he probably thought he was ready for whatever was going to happen, or he thought that he could get away with just a little touch.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe he had been in your house before and nobody noticed it and he got careless, or maybe he was just, you know, he just made I mean, obviously all of it was an error in judgment, but you know, maybe he just did something that was, you know, whatever it was that was wrong, but he obviously was panicking when he got caught. Mm-hmm. And it's surprising that he didn't, you know, if he had that knife, that ice pick on him, that he didn't attack Dusty.
Mm-hmm. You know, interesting thing is that the one thing that Jeff Hubbard had said whenever one of the episodes is that it's one thing, you know, to go in someone's house when they're not there, you know, and like search around and look for stuff. And it's kind of, I'd be scared to death to do something like that.
Yeah.
In fear of getting caught. I wouldn't do that anyway. But the point is, but to plan it when someone's in the home and go and like caress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's on a whole nother level.
I think he, over time, he had built up his tolerance, quote unquote. Yeah. And each time he tried to push it a little further and a little. Dude, he sat in my sister's closet for 9 hours.
I know, that's what you're saying.
And thank God that she didn't walk into her room, dude.
Right.
By herself, you know, because
what's that reaction
like? Oh, dude, that could have been bad. It could have been real bad.
He would have been scared. She'd have been scared.
Well, yeah, and she's small. And she's a little girl.
Irrationality. Emotions take, you know.
100%. And so
Dusty's not a big guy either. Let's
right.
I mean, for the listeners at home.
He's scrappy.
He's a scrappy guy. But
yeah.
Oh, dude, he would have been quick. This guy could have thumped him with, you know,
oh, yeah,
his
yeah.
finger, you know, right. and like.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Dusty, at this time, Dusty was maybe like 5'6", you know, and maybe like 125 pounds soaking wet with a, you know, denim over suit on or something, you know, not, you know, he was, but he, like Barry said, he was scrappy and he was quick. Dusty was always quick, but like, still, you know, he wouldn't be a good physical match if, you know, his attack, well, you know, no, it turned into an attack.
And he's in an 8x10, you know, little hole,
unconscious,
one way out.
He's lucky. He's lucky that he took off and went running. You know, because that could have been bad. If you're scrapping in a little room like that and there's an ice pick involved, that ain't no good, dude. That is no bueno.
Yeah.
But that is, every time I tell that story to people, I just told it to one of my kids' friends because I wanted him to hear this, because kids are very unaware.
Yeah,
and
well, I was trying to explain to my son. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "We got to leave baseball practice. I got to jump on this podcast, and I'm doing my first podcast. I'm excited about it, you know." He's like, "Oh, what's it about? What, you know, what's going on?" I said, "Well, it's about the time a dude broke into our house." He goes, "Wait, what? Somebody broke into our house?" He cannot wait for me to tell the story. I don't want to freak him out. You know,
that's great. Yeah. Dude. But kids need to know that this stuff is real.
Mm-hmm.
My kids are fairly protected, and you know, thank God, my wife and I have done a pretty good job at that. But the reality is that, you know, and we've had home invasions out here in Enid here lately. I don't know, Shane, if you know much about that, but Shane lives in my area, and there have been, there was a woman whose home was broken into and they beat her to death. And, another, home that they tried to break into and it didn't go so well, but, that stuff is real and it happens all the time. And the way that we grew up, we didn't lock our doors, man.
Yeah.
We just didn't. We lived out in the middle of nowhere, and everybody was our friends, and nobody meant us any harm. So, you know,
yeah, it's just the human mind, you know, is fascinating, and you know, what's going through your brain whenever you think there are people in this house, and I'm about to take my ice pick, and I'm about to take my leather gloves, and I'm about to climb up this here ladder and get on this roof. And I'm going to go through this door, and I'm going to go down, and I'm going to stroke somebody's fingers. I mean, that there's a certain psyche there.
Yeah.
It's a part of the mind that's, you know, that you don't get to, that you don't see a lot, thankfully.
Yeah.
But that, you know, think about it. It goes on all the time, I guess.
There's some compulsion in him that to do that, you know, that's pushing him. And it's obviously he's had these other, you know, allegedly, I don't know if he got convicted or what, but we'll say allegedly just to cover our ass. But all the other things that the other houses that he broke in, Barry's house and all of that, these other things that he did, you know, and that, so he had been building up that courage, but it just, when he got caught, you know, that was, God, man. And like, just the setting up, the just, you know, it's all so dramatic. But the fact that he just stayed there, you know, I mean, I guess he's caught, you know, it's better to, maybe he believed that he could, the lie that he came up with his car breaking down.
Right.
Which maybe, and he probably had that pre-planned too, I guess, in case something, he got caught or something. But just the fact that he stayed there and then just, but yeah, the gloves and the ice pick, man. That was
enough to be like, he's like, I use this for protection. You know, I'm thinking, what are you protecting yourself from?
Yeah.
It's just,
wow, it's, man.
But yeah, you know, this story has kind of been, kind of a folklore tale, you know, but it's actually reality. It actually happened, but you know, for our town, you know,
right.
Because everybody in town was, it was kind of one of those stories. It's just kind of like, man, this really happened, you know, and
it was big.
So, and I don't know. I never knew, you know, what came about, you know, with the situation. But
yeah,
and it was crazy. But when I realized that he had walked through the room, I felt bad for my dog, man. Right. He was a good dog.
Yeah,
he was. No, somebody's in the house.
Right, you know? Right.
And, I never fathomed it, you know.
Right,
right, right.
Well, you don't either, and that's not something you really want to put. You don't really want to go there when you're, you know, when you freshly woken up. You're like, that's the last thing you want to think about, somebody being in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, because you know, if you think about it, there's got to be some planning involved. You have to be like, Okay, I'm going to get out of here around, oh, I don't know, 5 in the evening and go get some supplies.
Yeah.
And, then I'm going to kind of, I don't know, I'll wait till like, I don't know, 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning, and then get out and, you know, have, I don't know. I don't
What's the end game?
It, you know.
What's just, the end game? Yeah, it's like, yeah. What are you planning to come of this? Like, that he wakes up, Dusty wakes up, and is just like, oh, hey, what's up? Let's have some coffee.
Let me stroke your finger. You know, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, let's talk about the finger. You know, I mean, it's the middle finger. You know, it's the longest one. And
it's a sign of affection, right?
It's certainly a sign of affection. But, you know, it could have been a whole lot weirder. It could have been much more bizarre. I mean, if his cheek or just, right. You know, or if he woke up when he was getting butterfly kisses or something. Like, yeah, that, I don't mean to make light as well, but it's something.
Well, you know, thankfully, you know, Dusty's fight or flight, you know, kicked in. He's like, hey, yeah, you have no choice but to like be right.
Right.
Well, it makes you wonder, you know, what Scott's fight or flight instinct was, and he didn't fight and he didn't flee.
Right.
And so kind of thankful he didn't, you know, maybe if he'd fled, maybe well, he fled, fled more, if he would have fled, it would have been more understandable.
Yeah.
But instead it's kind of like he's taking it, you know, he's here and he's like in the situation and he's not going to move out of the situation, which is probably a good thing. But
right.
Who knows if that switch flips, you know, and you decide to fight.
Right.
You know, who knows what happens.
Yeah, 100%.
It's very,
golly, very man. You ever think about all the times, and now that you just said that, I'm thinking about all the times in my life where I've had very close calls with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I've caught people breaking into my house and, you know, they jump out of the freaking balcony window when I came home. I mean, all kinds of stuff that I saw a guy get shot right in front of me when I was in Atlanta.
Damn.
And I'm just like, golly, man, I bet you the odds that I've rolled the dice a bunch of times and I don't know how many more freebies I get.
I know, right? I think all of us kind of look back sometimes and be like, man, we're lucky to be alive right now, right?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, but
especially
now
just,
man.
Right.
Especially just growing up in a small town and being a boy and being stupid, you know, just in general.
Also there are people that we know that we went to school with that mm-hmm. are convicted murderers, man, that you know, I'll never forget when Adam called me. This was, golly, man, this had to have been over 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He says, have you watched America's Most Wanted? I said, no. And he goes, dude, did you know that? Should I say his name or no?
Yeah, you can say it.
Record, isn't
Larry,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's like, did you know that Larry Yarbrough is like on the FBI's most wanted list? Like he's like top 10 most wanted. I'm like, what? He's like, fuck yeah, man. And then Billy Altizer. Billy Altizer was involved in all that shit that with the other murder. And it's like, golly, dude, it's so crazy. So
I know, just like you mentioned the other day, and Enid, you know, that whole, you know, beat down, bust in. That's just a brutal attack right around the corner. You know, it's just.
Did you hear that she had been beaten and tortured by her husband before?
Yeah, that was the guy that worked at the Mexican restaurant.
What, really?
Yeah, he worked at, I don't know, but I'm not going to say names. I guess local Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
And this has been years ago.
I remember the story.
He trapped her in the house and like beat her up and sprayed chemicals on her and threw her in the shower and locked her in the closet and locked her, you know, and he's like whacking her with a, you know, hammer and stuff. It was just terrible stuff, you know.
Awful.
And and her, you know, her kids were in there and it was just you know, it's a scary world, man.
Yeah, it is. It is, but thank God we get cool stories from some of the stuff.
I know, right? This is the whole. I'm glad that you guys had me on. I can't wait to,
dude.
You
know, I can't believe that
we gotta top this one, man.
I know, but I mean, it's like, this is something that like
that'd be hard.
Like for me, it's great to have you on because it corroborates some of what I've said. Of course, I got some things wrong, but like I said, over the years, it's almost like I've written the movie in my head, you know, and mm-hmm. I. I I've just told the story so many times, and you get used to telling a story the same thing. And I remember telling Dusty the story at a certain point. It might have been that night that I ran into you guys at Callahan's, but it was just like, it was like, dude, yes, but you got that a little bit wrong. He's like, oh,
well, hey, listen now, part three, okay. In episode whatever, in part three, you got to have Dusty on. Because when Dusty tells it, dude, this probably blow your mind. He tells it way better. He's the one that actually had it happen, you know
what
I mean?
Right. So, that's great, dude. Well, man, thanks for coming on, dude.
You know, Barry, I wanted to mention one thing, you know. Sure. You know, Barry Johnston, you are the one that introduced us, Dusty and I, to AC/DC.
Oh, man. Wow.
Okay. Barry always had the music that no one else had. It was always edgy. It was always, you know, he had the, of course, Barry, you also had the first YZ80, I think it was. Didn't you have a little motorcycle?
Yeah, I had a.
You had the Fat Wheel one.
I had to have one, you know.
Yeah.
And
that was good.
No, I remember one day you came over and I was probably listening to, I don't know, Michael Jackson, something cool, you know, where it was at the time. And then, Barry comes over and he's got a little boombox and he hits play and it's playing "She Was a Fast Machine to Get the Motor." And I was like, "What is this, man?" And Barry's so like, "AC/DC, dude."
Dude, how many times was I over at your house? We were just freaking rocking that record, man. I remember that. We'd all go hang out and be like a Wednesday night, and you guys had this freaking huge sound system, man. We'd freaking blast that record.
Yeah, it's one of them. It's one of them in the cabinet, you know.
Those are great times, man. Well, we lived out in a place where you could get out and do that kind of stuff. You know, you got some motorcycles, four wheelers, or even your bike. You know, you just get out and ride around. And it's a great.
We call it Lemon's Corner.
That's right, man. We had a pretty good situation there. So
you guys were about a mile away, probably
half a mile.
But in a straight line. So I remember that. It was spending a lot of time out at both of your houses.
It was great, man. Miss those days, and we're lucky that we have people that we still have in our lives from that time. You know, it's a pretty rare thing, really. We had a lot of people that
come. That's where Dusty learned not to hit a basketball with a baseball bat.
Dude, I remember
threw a basketball up, hit the baseball bat, and it came back and whacked him in the forehead.
I remember I had to put down one of your cats. It was just the stray cat that hung out at your house, man, and a freaking bobcat like tore its guts open.
I remember that. I can't believe you remember that,
dude. And he was like,
you can see his spine.
It was bad, dude. Dusty's like, dude,
I remember that,
dude. You gotta shoot him, man. I can't do it. I'm like, you think I can do this? I don't want to do this, man. I was like, awful, dude, you gotta do it, man.
I bet it was a feral cat. I bet you.
Yeah, dude, it was bad though, man. And I remember I was like, I gotta do this. This thing is not in a good situation, man. But that's crazy.
Well, real quick, let me tell you the story. You can say that if you want, but the story about that bobcat. Okay.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know if it was a cross between a bobcat and a feral cat or what they were. They were nasty, mean looking animals. Okay. But it kept killing. We had rabbits. It killed the rabbits. It killed this cat you're talking about. I think it was a Siamese cat, and it just ripped the flesh off the back of it. So my dad was determined to kill this freaking cat, man.
Yeah.
And he had a shotgun. He was ready to find this thing. And every time that he would see it in the backyard, it had these beady looking yellow eyes.
Yeah.
And it was mean looking. And every time he saw it, he'd say, "Shane, stay here. Keep your eyes on it." He'd run and get the shotgun. But when he got back, this thing just knew. He knew we were waiting for him. He'd bolt, you know. So one day, we're standing in the kitchen, and sure enough, this freaking cat, this bobcat looking monster thing, is sitting in the backyard looking at us with his beady yellow eyes. And my dad's like, "Shane, okay, stay right here and stare him down. I'm going to slowly move to the back of the house, and I'm going to open the window, and I'm going to shoot him, okay?" All right, so I'm sitting here watching this cat, right? And he's staring at me. My dad sneaks to the back of the house and grabs his shotgun, right? And he goes in the bedroom. It's on the same side of the house, okay? And at this time, we had storm windows, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
it's like, you know, like two windows.
Yep.
Right.
Right.
So he's got a storm window. The storm window's there. He's so excited to get this cat. He opens the window, boom, takes aim, and blasts through the storm window.
The storm window. That's,
you know, and that thing dropped, dude. So he blew the window out. You know,
that's great. And
that was the last.
We that's saw that hilarious. One. That's hilarious. That's what my that's dad would have done. That's great, dude.
Oh, that is so funny,
that's
dude.
That's great, dude.
But anyway,
hey Barry.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker, chupacabra.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, wait, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story, wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge, you know. They're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun.
Come back on here, man.
I will.
You know,
I will.
I know you've got some weird fucking stories, dude. I know you do.
I do, man. I will. But I want, you know, for me, you know, this show is so, I love stuff like this. You know, at nighttime, I watch, you know, Outer Limits, the old Outer Limits,
and
Twilight Zone. I love that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. Stuff, great stuff.
So I want to make sure that, you know, when I come to the table, it's a worthwhile story of the of the macabre, or however you say that.
Yeah.
But no, I think what you guys are doing is awesome, and I seriously love the intro to the first episode with all the sound effects. I don't know if they all have that or not, but
yeah.
And I love the technology behind it. I like the fact we can be in different, you know, states and areas and have a show. So
yeah, it's cool.
I want to come back, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, please do, brother.
Well, we appreciate you coming on and sharing that, man. And a great story and a lot of great laughs as well. So
yeah.
Well, I didn't mean to like barrel through it, man. I mean, I started going, dude.
No, that's good.
Well, dude, you know, I was wrapped up in it. Like, our listeners are going to be just the same way, just sitting just on the edge of my seat. I didn't know how it ends, but still, you know.
Thank you for having me on, guys. And Barry, I'm down for any time. And if I get something good, juicy, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Is it good?
Sounds good, brother. Thank you again, man.
All right, guys. Okay. Party on.
Yeah, man.
Party on, dude.
Send my love to everyone.
I will. See you soon. Right. Love you guys.
Okay, man.
Take care, man. Dude.
Love you too.
All right, later.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YE r-weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, that's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that, and if you decide to get one of their shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors. That's I don't even know, man. Just wild.
Yeah.
Just a wild story, you know, and to have it fleshed out just that bit more.
Yeah.
And from, you know, from Shane himself, who was there.
Right. Yeah. I've told it so many times that I just have this running movie in my mind about it.
Right. Right.
But, you know, whenever you step back away from it and you go, oh, yeah, like there's actual people that are living that actually this thing happened to. It wasn't just me. It's cool to hear somebody else's side of it because it's been so many years and mm-hmm. you fill in the blanks. And he yeah. said some things that I was just like, really? I didn't, you know, like I did not realize that, that was the case. Like I didn't know he came in through his window upstairs. I know exactly. Yeah, dude. Like he came through mm-hmm. where he was sleeping. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
and the ice pick, man. And
the ice pick, dude. Yeah.
That's even scary, dude.
I know.
That's so terrifying.
Yeah.
Because up until this point, it was a home invasion thing of, you know, about this desire that he had, you know, these impulses that he was acting on.
Yeah.
But it was always kind of like, it was creepy. It was not cool, mm-hmm. but it was at least somewhat safe, you know. I mean, it wasn't so like terrifying. I mean, it's terrifying, but it wasn't like life threatening,
right?
And then all of a sudden we're like, well, that's not exactly
yeah he had it
the
on
whole story
yeah he had it on him yeah. on his and that's just like, whoa, man. So yeah, I mean, it's so neat whenever we're able to have somebody come on and confirm these stories like mm-hmm. this, you know. It's I wish we could do it for every story that we have, but we just don't have that ability. Some yeah. people don't want to talk, and that's understandable. But yeah. when you have the opportunity to get somebody on that can corroborate what you're saying, and I felt like I when we were done with it, I was like, you know, like I'm happy that I think that he at least thought I did the story justice. You know, like
yeah.
I think I at least kind of hit all the points that needed to be hit. Because, you know, again, this is one of those stories, too, that's so layered, man. It's like, and over mm-hmm. time, just putting the pieces together and figuring all that out and how the timeline kind of went. I mean, some of it's a little fuzzy, but it's cool to have somebody else come along and go, yeah, man, like that was pretty right. That was pretty correct. But, you know, this is a little yeah. bit different, you know. It was really, really cool. And we appreciate, that, you know, Shane for coming on.
Yeah.
And yeah. and doing that.
That was a lot of fun. And he told it with such enthusiasm, dude. And again, yeah. you know, we have both, you've told that story so many times and heard right. it, you know. And,
right.
And then I've heard it so many times, too, since, you know, then. And yet there was still, like, I was still on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah,
it was all that.
Yeah, it was still exciting, wow. you know. That's when you know a story's good and fun. Is when
yeah.
when you feel that way. And maybe other people don't feel that way when they listen to it, but for me, I get enjoyment out of it, and that's yeah. what's important, you know. So
I guess that brings us to say, we want to hear all your stories, your weird stories, your you know, all these stories. Maybe you've told it 1,000 times, and you know it's boring to you. It's not boring to us. It's not boring to other people. People want to hear these things. That's what our experience here on this earth is all about. It's about sharing, and it's about, you know, saying, you know, hey, this is what happened in my reality here. You know, these are the things that I experienced. This is the crazy shit that went down. And we love hearing those stories. So get a hold of us and let's get that happening. Let's hear some your stories, because you guys are what makes this boat sail and go around the round world and all of that. I lost my metaphor again.
I was hoping we didn't, the Weirdsville didn't reside on a flat earth.
No. World. Weirdsville is it's a round one. And, it's definitely not flat, man, because like there's so many things that happen on it, because, you know, I heard a funny thing and this is true, but, if the world was flat, then there would be nothing left on it because cats would have pushed all of it off the side.
That's so true, man. That is long so ago. True.
That's old news, but it's or an old joke, but who cares? You know, it's still true. We, you know, we are unapologetic about the fact that we are not flat earthers and we're anti-flat earthers. We're rounders. And, you know, hey, if you want to believe in flat earth, you know, there's not too many things that we'll flat out say are just wrong. But that's one of them. Anyway, neither here nor there on that. Let's talk about next week.
Yeah.
Next week, we have our friend Desi coming back for the third time.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah, she was hesitant. We saw her at the What's Your Beer Story event. She came out and she said, you know, I kind of want to write this in because I don't want to be that person to come back on all the time. We're like, no,
yeah,
no, Desi, you have to come back on because we love you and we love hearing your stories and such a great personality. And so we kind of coerced her, or maybe not coerced, but we got her on. Anyway, Desi's back and she's got some more cool stuff to share. And so tune in next week and we'll have that for you. As always, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good week until next time. And in between, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Until next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.